Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we continue where we left off last Sunday in our verse-by-verse study of these two epistles to the Thessalonican church. I'm going to be reading, well, we're going to be starting this new series in verses 6 through 15 titled Work and Don't Grow Weary. The main lesson that we have before us this morning is this: work is a gift from God, and if a Christian is able to work, they should work and not be idle. In Hillbilly Elegy, Vice President J.D. Vance tells of Bob, who worked with him at a tile warehouse with his girlfriend. Bob missed work once a week, was chronically late, and took many breaks each day, lasting over half an hour each. His girlfriend missed work every third day and never gave advance notice. Just the kind of employees you want, right? Now, when they were fired after many, many warnings, Bob was furious. J.D. Vance concludes convincingly that too many today are immune to hard work, and that what used to be thought of as a good job, a reasonable job, are now seen as demanding with unreasonable standards. And as he puts it, the result is societal decay. If you're into bumper sticker philosophy, you've probably seen this bumper sticker axiom that says, I-O, so off to work I go. And for a vast majority of the workforce today, that's probably the best and maybe the only reason that they can muster to go to work each day. This reflects a view of work as a necessary evil, nothing more than a way to pay off debts and fund our lifestyles. But work, viewed biblically from God's word, is much more than some utilitarian means to survive. And if we see work correctly based upon the truth of God's word, there is no such thing as a Christian who goes to a secular job. Only sacred jobs, no matter what that job may be. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13 says this, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So I want to put this out there before you, and that is a biblical truth, and work is a gift from God. But as we'll learn from our study of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15, not all Christians lived as if work was a gift from God. Instead of working, they became idle busybodies causing strife in the church family. As Christians, we're called to work and gifted work by God. Therefore, let's not grow weary in doing the good work of working, as Bob and his girlfriend had done. And also, as we see, some of the church members of Thessalonica had done as well. Now, I know that I'm preaching to a congregation with the vast number of you who have worked your life and are retired. I understand that. I get that. But this is still a relevant message to the church today, that every believer needs to understand that God has given you a gift in your work. And so that all that we do, whether we eat or drink or whether we work, we are to do it as to the glory of God. All right? And so that wasn't taking place altogether in the church of Thessalonica, as it does not in the church today. And so this is a welcome word that gives us some direction when church members refuse to do the good work of work and instead become busy body troublemakers for their church family. So, I think this could also apply to society as a whole as well. So when it comes to work, we learn, number one, this, point number one, church members should keep away from idle church members. Look at verse 6 with me. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word from you. We have heard you speak today, and we have heard you speak truth. And so, Father, that's not in doubt here at Liberty Baptist Church. And so help us to surrender to the truth of your word and live under it as obedient children to their Father. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy, infallible, inerrant word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, just like any church today has its unruly members, so did the church of Thessalonica. Thankfully, God's word gives us clear instructions when toxic members cause problems for the church family, both then and now. First, God's word tells us to keep away from idle church members. Look at the second part of verse 6. The Bible says, keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. Now, if you recall, this isn't the first time Paul's had to address this problem in the church of Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, he wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. So not even a word from the Apostle Paul himself, the spoken word of God, did church members value the lesson that they needed to learn. It was a continued ongoing problem in the church of Thessalonica, this issue of idleness instead of working. So evidently, these idle members, those who can work but choose not to work or refuse to work, are still causing problems for their church family. So this time around, Paul doesn't mince words at this point. He doesn't try to coddle these deviant members, nor does he accept the other members who are actually doing what they're supposed to do. He doesn't accept those members doing nothing about the unruly members' idleness. So this is a call to action both to the idle and those who in the church are turning the other way from these people who are being idle in the church. This is somewhat of a lesson on church discipline. And so he writes, now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, Paul is not offering a suggestion to these church members. He's not making a request from these church members, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is commanding the brothers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep away from idle church members. That's how serious a problem these idle church members had become to the overall well-being of their church family. Now, not only that, but did you notice Paul invoked the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this command? So, which added another layer of authoritative authority and weightiness to the command. So, in other words, Paul's saying, if you disobey this command, you're not disobeying me, you're disobeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the command that Paul gave? How does a church family handle unruly, idle, toxic church members who cause continuous problems? How do they handle? Well, look at God's word. This is what it says. We keep away from any members walking in idleness. Now, this is not a one-time thing. This is a lifestyle of idleness and troublemaking. This Greek word translated idleness, maybe in your version of the scripture, it's unruly. But it refers to being out of line or out of order. It's a military term, in other words. And used militarily, it refers to soldiers being out of rank, meaning undisciplined soldiers who neglect and reject their duties and endanger their entire squad. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul further describes these idle, unruly believers thus, not busy at work, but busy bodies. So in other words, these unruly members, these toxic members, are those who can work, but refuse to work and are constantly causing problems for the other members. I think at least in part, sponging off of these members who are working, causing them problems. Now the Bible says, translates the single Greek word, keep estello, keep away. And this Greek word means to avoid, to shun, or to pull back from. So in other words, these good church members who are doing what they're supposed to do were to separate themselves from and ostracize idle, unruly, toxic members. Why? So they don't rub off on them. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. Now, you remember, we talked about that word tradition, and I want you to remember it refers to those things handed down. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, it's those things handed down either orally or in writing from the apostle. Therefore, these traditions don't refer to man-made traditions, but they refer to the divine revelation of God, either orally passed on or written down. As one author writes, those who refused to work were guilty of rejecting God's word. What was one of the first things that God gave Adam in the garden? A job. He was to do what? To name every creature in the garden. Work is good. Amen? Sometimes. All the time. It should be. Work is good. None of us have perfect days every day at work. Work can be hard. It can be taxing. It can be difficult. But viewed biblically, even the taxing parts, the hard parts, the difficult parts are used by God for your good. And therefore, work is a gift from God. A job is a wonderful thing. Keeps us out of trouble. And so, what are some implications now from the text that we can draw? First, as I've been telling you, work is a gift from the Lord. That's the kind of attitude we need to keep with us when we go to work, regardless of what that work is. And also, every able-bodied Christian who is not retired, all right, should work and have the best work ethic of all employees wherever you work. You should have no complaints against you because you're not working for that place. You are working as unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs. In other words, don't be a busybody. And to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. That's the work that each one of us are assigned 6 days of the week to do. Now, secondly, the text also infers and implies that God is displeased with lazy, able-bodied Christians who refuse to work and support themselves. God's not happy with that. And the other part of this is, good Christians who do work and live lives quietly and support themselves should not enable idle Christians to be idle. That is not loving, and that is not gracious, and that is not kind. That is enabling a sinful lifestyle. The loving thing to do as Paul writes to us, is keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. So church members should keep away from idle church members. Well, that's the first part of this sermon series. There's three more points, and I don't have time to get into the next three points, so I'm going to save those to next Sunday. But I'd like to close with a word from C.S. Lewis when it comes to work. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, writes, "The work of a Beethoven and the work of a house cleaner." Do you know that the word for house cleaner is chairwoman? C-H-A-R-W-O-M-A-N. I had to look that up because I had no idea what a chairwoman was. That's how language changes. So a chairwoman is a cleaner. So if you read this in his book, it wouldn't be a house cleaner. It would be a chairwoman. Now, that's neither here nor there. So anyway, the work of a Beethoven and the work of a house cleaner become spiritual on precisely the same condition, that of being offered to God, of being done humbly as unto the Lord. He goes on to write, "This does not mean, of course, that it is for anyone a mere toss-up whether he or she should sweep rooms or compose symphonies, because a mole must dig to the glory of God and a cock must crow to the glory of God." So work done for the Lord is a holy, happy calling and should be understood as a precious gift from the Father. So let's not grow weary in doing good. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful word from us. It's a word that needs to be taught, Lord, over and over again, from the youngest children to the graduating kids, adults. Lord, we pray for the fate of America, because the work ethic of America has deteriorated. And Lord, we pray that a good, godly understanding of work could be taught and listened and heard, not just in our homes, but most certainly in our Christian homes, but in schools and in places of employment. Because when we move away from your plan for work, we get the results that we're seeing in our society today. And so, Father, we pray for a holy revival, a movement of the Holy Spirit to redeem lost souls. In Jesus' name, amen.